from the Euro, a burden on my heart. I presume that every message a man brings should be the burden of his heart. But this was born of a personal experience between me and God. In that personal experience, I was crying out to this church and to myself that God was finished with the Holy Ghost. That God was somewhere, somehow, I guess we all somehow think that things were better at particular other times in our lives. But I was raised in the fire of Pentecost. I was raised in the time of the function and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. I yearned for that. I longed for that. And I was talking to God about that. Last Sunday, my message, last Sunday night, was, of course, the award for the missionaries and rangers. And I brought a very simple message last week. Birth, I believe, out of what God had dealt with me about it, with my parents. I believe that it was God that spoke to me and said, I want you to go back to the very beginning. I want you to go back to the simplicity. I want you to go back as if no one has heard about this great gift of God. With all of that on my mind and on my heart, I have set myself to bring you simple messages. Bring every one of us, no matter what our history is, take us back. Take us back to when we were first saved, to when we were first introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm doing it in a message. When I came into the reality by experience. Everybody in the house of God was filled with the Spirit. There was a move of the Holy Ghost during the song service. I mean, people would really shout, praise God, speak in tongues in the song service. The man of God would begin to preach, and people just stand at their feet in the middle of the message. That was the reality. It wasn't what you heard with the ears. It's what you were experiencing. It was real. And I cried out to God, I know that it is still real. I know what we need. Last Wednesday night, I preached on the message of the Holy Spirit. My message last Wednesday night was, the Holy Spirit creates the church. The Holy Spirit fills the church, unites the church, witnesses through the church, empowers the church, and works through the church, extends the church, and directs the church. I've got verses for every one of those things. If all of this is the workings of the Holy Spirit, what makes us think that we can be the church without the life of the Spirit? Folks, every one of us, we're going to have to come back. We're going to have to come back. And there's a lot that we're going to have to come back to. When tonight we saw how that there is a distinctive event that fulfills the promise of Christ and the giving of the Spirit. There is a filling of believers. That means a controlling. There is a presence of God that gives in that church supernatural actions. I am going to take you back with me tonight for just a little bit. No matter how much you've heard it, no matter how much you can preach it and teach it yourself, let me, not knowing exactly where everyone is in the walk with God, as far as being filled with the Spirit, Let me take it back. I have never in my life, as long as I preach the gospel, I've never preached on speaking in tongues as a subject. I do when it says, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the words. But when you sing as much as I have and some others of us, we've seen people come along and they'll teach you how to speak in tongues. I told you about Nancy Harmon when she was here. They just came from Florida. And in Florida, there were people that said, we're going to tell you, this person said, I want to know if I have the Holy Spirit. And they started this, C-O-C-M. And I asked Nancy and her people, is that the Holy Ghost? She said, no, you have Coca-Cola. C-O-C-A-C-O-L-A. Some dumb people led those to believe that if they would spell Coca-Cola real fast, that would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to take you back to before the sermons, before the make-believe, the sham. I want to take us back to the book of Acts. All the way back. This is real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. I look around and I can remember what certain people said. I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you wouldn't even remember the name. They've been gone that long. It wasn't what they necessarily told me, but they did teach me. It's what I saw. It's what I saw. It's what I felt. And you can't take feeling out of this. This is not dead. This is not form. This is not tradition. This is God. I know men that were filled with the Holy Ghost and married ladies that were not filled. I know the guy, the other side of them, women that were filled, married men that were not filled. They did not understand one another at certain times, but there was always a plea. There was always a cry. God, fill my husband. God, fill my wife with the Holy Ghost. We can have members of our families now that are not filled. We don't even pray. We don't even call out. I'm going to take part of the blame for that. But I'm not made it evident to every one of us that we must abide in the Spirit of God. We cannot be carnal. We cannot be fleshly. We cannot live according to our own imaginations. We must be directed by, led by, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I hate to have to even bring this up, but I've been placed in where it's preached. I've been placed in where it's believed. And that is that you do not, they believe, they teach, you do not have to speak in tongues as an initial evidence that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. People, you can't believe everything that you hear. You can't follow everything that says, come after me and I will help you. We must be dedicated to the truth of God's Word. Nothing else. I am not going to tell you today just what I've heard. I'm going to tell you what I've heard that is in keeping with the Word of God. No matter how long you've been filled, when God fills you with the Spirit, you will still speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the evidence. And somebody says, is that a good thing? Because I do not have the Spirit of God. No, it is a prayer request. It is a cry. It is an urgent need that you must be filled with the Spirit of God. I know a lot of people that have been filled, and they will tell you today that they are filled, but it has been weeks, if not months, if not longer, since they prayed in the Spirit, since they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God came to you. And let me give you a few reminders from the Apostle Paul. Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Talking about it, do not forbid anyone. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. Right? Paul talking about the Spirit, the inner man, he said that inner man must be renewed every day. Every day. I know this is so basic, so simple. Hope nobody gets up and walks out on me. I'm telling you that we must go back to our first coming to this truth, this knowledge of the Spirit of God's baptism. It's not a choice. It is not something that we decide whether we want or we do not want. Let's go all the way back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which we have heard of him. When he was with all of them, he left this command in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. He left no personal private interpretation. He was with them, he commanded them, and then he specifically said, John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. That's not the same baptism. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, begin reading with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as with fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They had grown in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ. When they tarried and prayed, when they were filled, they all began to speak with tongues. I don't know how to make it any more simple. I don't know how to make it any more plain. But I can tell you this. Most voices of teachers today is, it's not necessary. You don't have to have it. If you're saved, you've got everything that you need. I want to take this apart a little bit more. In the book of Acts, and this is we just read, you've got wind and fire. But I'm going to show you, I believe I can show you, by the word of God, that that was not the identifying mark of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to begin reading with verse 11. 1 Kings 19, 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You get what I'm reading? You go stand in the presence of God, God's going to pass by. I mean, the rock melted. But he said, God was not in the rock, was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, came fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the inner end of the cave. And behold, there came a blast. Said Elijah, what are you doing? And listen. There was a wind. There was a shaking. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. But according to the book of 2 Kings, God was not in it. I want to ask you this. Do you think that Elijah met God at that mountain? Sure he did. He said, you go stand, and he's going to pass by. Sure he met God. Were those United manifestations? Yes. Rocks, windy, fire, cold, the earth shaking and quaking. But the Bible specifically says the Lord was not in the wind of the fire. Let's go back to the book of Acts. There came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there was a fire. But there's something else. The Bible said God was in the forest on Mount Horeb. Not the wind, not the fire. I'm not minimizing anything. I've got to put something in your thinking. If the presence of God takes the earth, breaks the rock, and sends the fire, and declares that God is not in it. You go, Elijah, you stand in the mouth of that cave. You heard a still small voice. Can somebody tell me what was in that voice? God was in that voice. If I have the time, I'm going to show you some things here today. As a matter of fact, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. And begin reading with verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard him. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that only the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Again, what is the evidence of the giving and the coming of the Holy Spirit that while they yet, while Peter yet preached, they that believed, heard, those otherwise that were filled with the Spirit, how did they know they were filled? Because they heard them speak in tongues. I don't want to be declared to be a tongue speaker. That's not what I am. But the question is, what was unique? Let me take this back a little bit. He said in verse 46, 45, they were astonished as many as came with Peter because that only Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. What's going on here? Peter's preaching as a move of God. Something is happening. I can tell you that you can praise God. You can magnify God and not be filled with the Spirit. But if God baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, you will be just as it was in the beginning. And you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God came in. Look at Acts 19:6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know. This is why I preach to the crowd. I know what I'm doing. But I know what I must do. We have people that have come to church, joined us, become a part of us, and maybe they've never heard this. My God. They hear somebody else somewhere else. Oh, you don't have to speak in those tongues that have the Spirit of God's presence. You need to know what God says will make up your own mind. People, please remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, I don't like to talk about it. And I will admit to you that I am still shaken by the death of our 2-year-old, my 15-year-old boy and his 2-year-old sister. When I read that paper that Jaden had written about being saved, being born again, loving God, respecting others, 2 years old, I got a renewed appreciation for managers and missionary teachers and workers. Since we know, coming in years ago, when she's working with children's church, I was only one of my parents. I felt like the children needed to be on here rather than down there. She came to me, she said, Pastor, I agree with you. But she said, what am I doing? I'm taking mom and daddy's place. Mom and daddy don't do that. So I have to do that. You never heard me say anything last night, she was right. I'll tell you, teachers and workers, you're needed. You're needed. Sister Mel Brown, years and years ago, when some of our young missionaries, as a part of our program, got up and quoted the books of the Bible, and you remember that incident. She looked at me and she said, I have teachers in my life. I mean, children quote all 66 books of the Bible. That is an invaluable. I know that doesn't save them, but they're also taught the way of redemption. We must also, and I know they do, stand up like that. We must teach them. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Said, working out, you know when you work over there, it's sad. Bringing them in. I've been out in their homes with the sad. They're not Christian homes. You can smell them, liquor. You can smell them here. He picks them up in heaven. Bringing them to church. Every time we have church, he brings them to church. I don't get to preach to them that much. I'm not here. But you teachers, you workers, you laborers for Christ, it's up to you. First of all, you must be filled. The next thing is, you must know the importance for everyone to be filled. That's the will of God. I'm just rambling right now, but Sister Bridget, I was thinking of being on the castle just yesterday when we were looking at that stove. And so I spent all of those hundreds of dollars on those camps. Almost every place in this camp where I go, I go to Columbus, I go to Longhorn, I go to Kenya to take the rooms of all of them. And there are people. Someone will walk by my table and say, you don't know me. You don't remember me. But I went to youth camp. Brother Stephen, Sister Cindy. They were the youth leaders. I went there. And they speak with a reverence, with a respect. Every man and woman who said, I don't go to that kind of church anymore. But I got to Holy Ghost. Oh, that God would be done in this house. Oh, God, I believe in coming. Go back to the simplicities. Go back to where God made us from. Even for you, we're going back to wickedness. One of the greatest purposes of God is killing the youth or whatever. I didn't do that now, and I never forget it. That winter, he was preaching the youth camp. I said, I've always been so thankful to God's music. They had a lot of musicians on that platform. Because everybody, even from other countries, they played instruments, they took them, and they played them in concert. Aaron was leading the song for us. And I'm sitting across the front, climbing to the top. I saw her get up from the piano. I saw that lady just walk out towards, not knowing what she was going, what she was going to do, walk out, like a hand on some of those young people. Can I tell you, maybe in a way that I don't remember before or since, I saw the Holy Ghost fall. We used to remember how long that altar service lasted, or was it like maybe 3 hours, whatever. I believe that's the night my granddaughter was baptized in the Holy Ghost, maybe my grandson. And I walked up and down those altars. That was all of the rest of the service. I walked up and down that altar. And God gave me a witness. I'm dying to head up to the graduate of God. If I'm lying, I'm exaggerating. Their faces look like the faces of angels. I've never seen such look on faces as it was in that service. I said, what I know. One time when I was over the moon, we had 18 young people baptized in the Holy Ghost in one service. It was a message. It was that lady after her friend stood upstairs in that hall and was praying. And one by one, we had invitation. We all made our way back up there. This is real. It is what we need. I thank God for every experience. I thank God for the trial of the world. But there is something about this being filled with the Spirit that there is that language that is enforced. Well, I don't even know where to go. But I know I'm preaching to you the right message. I know God led me to this, and I'll have more to do. Brother Stephen and all the part of this youth group, they leave today to go to the campground for the youth camp. They begin to speak. We'd have a different church. Adults, youth. We'd have a different services if we all come back baptizing the Spirit. Where the Spirit of God is so in control that everything is said and done. It's not because we were taught to develop a message. It's all because we are in one place, in one mind, and in one heart. Let me put this up here tonight. I don't think it's wrong what the musicians do. I don't think it's wrong for them to be an evidence. Sometimes we can only know the validity, the reality of something as evidence. God's given us this evidence that I'm about your mother and your dad, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. I pray that we may just a person of this church, but it's time for every one of us. It's time for every one of us, starting with me, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You may not act like me. I can't even act like I used to act. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person, a deep Holy Ghost coming into this person and living in me and making me like Jesus Christ. Would you stand, would you lift your hands? If you've got to come out of this, would you just say that?